Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, and welcome to the 63rd episode of Making Shifts Happen, Blog Talk Radio with Stress Buster Secrets. And the title of today's show is, Are You Stress Resilient? And I'd like to welcome all of my listeners to, again, the 63rd episode. It just doesn't seem quite possible. And we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. We're going to talk about stress resiliency today. And a quote that I found is, tough times don't last. I'd also like to add in another quote. It says, stress is not what happens to us. It is our response to what happens. And response is something that we can definitely choose. So as we look at this and we talk a little bit about what resiliency is, we're going to discuss, what is stress resilience? Does it come to people naturally? What does it take to become stress resilient? So let's begin to explore in this show, is resiliency a skill or a natural talent? Does environment play in as a factor? What is the most reliable indicator of stress resilience? Once you have become more resilient, can you lose your resiliency? And as we look at 63 Blog Talk Radio episodes, what have I learned through these Blog Talk Radio shows that has taught me resilience? And of course, how does it get any better than this? Let's explore the first question. What is stress resilience? Stress resilience is the ability to withstand the ups and downs of everyday life. Resiliency means that you are a responder to stress, not a reactor to stress. And there have been so many studies done on stress resiliency. And what I'd like to remind you of is it doesn't come naturally, although there are some people who begin learning about stress resiliency early in life, and they maintain that stress resiliency pretty much throughout their life. And sometimes resiliency simply means that you are able to look at what happens in life and see what you can do to make the best of it. So I was talking in my CMC class on Tuesday last week, and we were talking about habituated thoughts, and we've been through thoughts on the Blog Talk Radio show many, many times because thoughts are very important in stress, because actually a lot of our stress is created by our perceptions. Well, our stress resiliency can be created by our perceptions as well. And one of my students asked a very wonderful question, and we spent 2 weeks exploring it in different ways. And she said, well, isn't thinking positive just kind of being a Pollyanna and not really being real in our lives? And I didn't answer it quite as well the first week, but I did spend some time with it, and I think I answered it better this past Tuesday. Any thought that you have is a constructed thought, and it's based on your beliefs and your environment and your upbringing. And the fact that I'm thinking a positive thought versus a negative thought doesn't make my reality any less real. In other words, I can have an event like a car bearing down on me in my lane, both of us going 55 miles an hour. Now, if we collide, that's a collective impact of about 110 miles an hour. So we probably won't be walking away from that type of an accident without a scratch. And that's an acute stressor. That's just like, wham, you have to just do something to avoid it. And in that instance, I slammed on my brakes and I swerved off the side of the road because there was an oncoming car in the other lane that this car X was trying to pass in my lane. And it was only two lanes, three cars, two lanes. You do the physics math. Somebody's going to have to change course. Otherwise, there's going to be a huge collision. So I slammed on my brakes and I slid off the side of the road. And I almost tipped my car. I could feel the wheels lifting off on the driver's side. And for some reason, it came back down, settled in, and the car behind me was as lucky as I was. It came off the side of the road as well because there was really no place else for us to go. I don't think the car behind me saw the car in the oncoming lane until I got out of the lane, and then he had to react very quickly as well. So by the time I slowed down and got back on the road, I was going about 35 miles an hour. And in that instant, there is a high level of stress. There is a high adrenaline rush. There is high response, not thinking response, just slamming on the brake and getting out of the way. Because I could see that car was just not going to move. He was bound and determined to pass the car that was in his lane, and he was not getting out of the way for anybody. He pushed two other cars off the road. So, what is stress resilience in a situation like that? I don't know about the other driver because we didn't get out to compare notes, but my response was, thank God everybody stayed safe. First thought, first conscious thought, thank God everybody's safe. Second conscious thought was, what an idiot. And I really wanted to go down kind of that road, ironically, of what a stupid driver. Doesn't he realize what he almost did? All of those types of things. And the answers might have been yes or no. He might not have even realized what he was doing. He might not have even seen me. I can't put myself in his place and assume certain things. The only place that I can be effective is driving my car and being stress resilient. So, if we look at the qualities of what is stress resilient, that event, I don't know how it influenced the driver behind me, as I said before, but for me, I knew if I belly breathed and I got back into the moment and took a sip of water, I could shift my perception of it so that it didn't damage me. I could have let that crazy driver create ill health in me for as long as I relived the accident with the perception that he's an idiot, and building up huge anger and huge negative emotions and huge negative thoughts. I could have called him every name in the book. Instead, and this is how I responded to the student in class, instead, I have a choice. I can choose a negative thought, a negative adjective, negative things that only influence me because I don't know how everybody else in that situation, we all drove on our merry ways. I don't know how everyone else was responding. And I could think horrible thoughts all day long. I could have imagined the worst. What if we had hit each other? What if I had died? What if this? What if that? But that's creating a reality because my nervous system doesn't know the difference between something real and something imagined. So by creating those alternative scenarios, that didn't happen. My nervous system would react as if they had. And I would walk away, a screaming, shaking mess, looking for somebody to pay for this situation. That's not very stress resilient. So how do you learn stress resilience? How do you learn to become your own best friend in situations of stress when there's no one around to help you, no one around to help you change your perceptions? And does environment play a big role in this? Well, I don't know. I grew up in the military, and we had air raid drills all the time, and when the air raid siren went out, we were supposed to climb under our desks and then wait for the all clear, as if a small wooden student desk was going to prevent catastrophic death from happening. I don't know, but there were some kids that after the air raid could not calm themselves down, others that went back and sat in their desks and quietly continued on doing what we were doing before the air raid siren went off. Yes, it was nerve-wracking. Yes, it was stressful. You did not know whether it was a real or a practice drill until the all clear sounded. So under the same stressor, each student behaved a little differently. And if you have this acute stress, it might take you a while to build up stress resilience. But in our research, some of the things that we have done is we have looked at negative events and acted as if we can prevent negative events, but we know that what we place our attention on expands. So, excuse me, I'm getting ready to sneeze here, so I guess not. Anyway, the research is focused, there it came, on negative events. And then kids are labeled as troubled or nervous or anxious. And they could have been in my classrooms as well. Well, Susie over here is stressed all the time. And those labels then become what the children think about themselves. Whereas other kids that are labeled as stress resilient or stress hardy tend to fulfill those perceptions of them as well. So when we look at stress resilience and some of the factors that are in there, some of it may be a natural skill, some of it's a natural talent, but all of it can be learned. All of it can be learned. Does environment play in as a factor? Yes, it does. And when a figure of authority, like a teacher or a parent, labels you as extremely stressed or extremely anxious, that can undercut your resilience. And it makes it a little bit more challenging to learn how to be stress resilient. What are some of the qualities stress resilient? What sets these individuals apart? Well, there might be a strong bond with a supportive parent or teacher or caregiver or maybe a coach. I know in Peyton Manning's recent retirement speech, he thanked all of his coaches and he said, "They made me a better player." That's a very stress resilient football player. Resilient people tend to meet the world on their own terms. What does that mean? Well, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about meeting the world on your own terms. And we're going to have a short break about the Calm Moms free report. Please remember that the audio as a bonus does not come with it at this time. It may in the future. But I'd like to thank all the people that ordered the Calm Moms free report. And I hope that you're interested in purchasing the Calm Moms program. For more information on that, let's listen to this commercial.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. I have another quote about stress. It says, "Dear stress, let's break up." Childhood is maybe a stress-resilient child that carries them through adulthood is a strong bond or a strong relationship with a parent or a teacher or a coach. Meeting the world on their own terms, they were pretty autonomous and independent, which means that they, in some languages, they call it self-starters, and they could kind of figure things out on their own, and they enjoyed their independence. They didn't feel like they were separating themselves from the group. They felt like they were a big part of the group, but they could also do their own thing in the group. And coming from the 70s, doing your own thing is a big, big statement back then. And children used these stress management, social orientation that's very positive, they use these to their benefit. And they also have the perception that they could manage things very, very well. Abraham Maslow talked about the self-actualized person, internal locus of control. The internal locus of control means that the perception is that control for your life comes from within you, rather than an external locus of control where the locus of control is placed in an event or somebody else. So in the car accident avoidance story I told you earlier, if I had had an external locus of control, I would have said, okay, that other person's going to control me, even though that situation was miles behind me, until I know that that person is sorry for causing me this anxiety, I'm going to stay anxious. And I don't even know who the person was. I couldn't even describe the car. So, but I've given them my power. I've turned my locus of control over to an unknown person who's a crazy driver driving a car. So, of course, I'm going to feel anxious and nervous and low stress resilience. However, I said, hey, look, I did the right thing. Car behind me wasn't injured. I wasn't injured. The car driving down the wrong side of the road wasn't injured. The car driving in their correct lane wasn't injured. We did good. We did really well. And I left the incident back on the road where it happened. I didn't carry it with me for miles and days and hours. I left it where it occurred, knowing that everybody was completely safe and we all had a positive outcome. So I orchestrated my fate. And if you measure the locus of control, I would be usually higher than most people because I kept my internal locus of control. I did not give it away. But can you lose your stress resiliency? Absolutely. If you have unrelenting stress, and remember, stress is a perception, but say you have a chronic issue of chronic pain or an autoimmune disorder or cancer or some of these other huge, huge life stressors. If you have that unrelenting stress, sometimes you can feel very overwhelmed by it. And your resilience turns into giving in, giving up and giving in. And we need to come back to the reminder that perception determines whether or not, or to the level in which we will be stressed. Dr. Bonanno says, events are not traumatic until we experience them as traumatic. To call something traumatic belies that fact. So he coined a phrase, PTE, or potentially traumatic event, which is more accurate. He says, stressful or traumatic in life events don't have the predictive power when it comes to outcome, but only predictive if there is an ongoing negative response. In other words, living through adversity, it can be endemic to your environment or an acute negative event. It doesn't guarantee that you'll suffer as you're going forward. What matters is whether or not the adversity that you're experiencing also becomes traumatizing. So once you have become resilient or stress resilient and manage things and manage them, can you lose it? Yes, you can. If you change your perceptions, if you change your external locus of control, if you stop doing your self-healing skills, you can lose your resiliency. It's a skill like any other. If you don't work a muscle, eventually it becomes lax and it doesn't work very well. When you work it back, when you start working the muscles again, when you start working your resiliency again, it can come back. So you don't have to lose it forever. You can also learn what Martin Seligman terms as explanatory styles. The pessimist explains or has an explanatory style of everything being negative. The optimist, on the other hand, explains or perceives or thinks in terms of positive outcomes. And so that's an optimistic explanatory style. And if I feel like I'm losing, say, my positive explanatory style, or I'm giving away my power through my locus of control, it's becoming more and more externalized, and I'm feeling more and more stressed and more anxious, I know what I can do. I can start right now with the four self-healing skills. That's the things that we've taught through the Blog Talk Radio, the four self-healing skills. I can belly breathe, drink plenty of water, become aware, and get back into the present moment. My negative explanatory style will usually have me leading down a path where ultimately somebody dies, and that's the survival imperative part of stress, where if I tell myself a story, get worse and worse and worse and worse until somebody dies or I kill somebody, one of the two. If my explanatory style is positive, then I can tell myself, we all survived, it's a good day, we all walked away from it. I had a brief 30 seconds of sheer terror, and I'm back now. I'm back and better than ever. And that's resiliency. I didn't let that accident influence me. I know that my body was stressed, however, because my thinking processes were not really of the highest order. I was turning into the driveway to my friend's house, and first of all, I turned into the wrong place. And then I got turned around and I got lost. And I had to call several times to get back to where I could be, to get back to my friend's house. that's how fuzzy my thinking was. And this was about 10 minutes after the incident on the road. So even though I was okay, I wasn't carrying the incident with me, I was in a good place with it, my thinking was still not as clear as it could be, simply because the high level of stress hormones that had flooded my system that were going to keep me safe. And when I felt that car tipping, there was sheer terror there. It's like, oh my gosh, now it's a rollover, now it's this, now it's this. And I wasn't consciously thinking those thoughts. They were coming up as a result of the activity of what was happening. So my perception was, I'm going to die. I mean, it was really that simple. And yet, 30 seconds down the road, I'm going, I'm not dead. Nothing's happened. My car's running. The car behind me, everybody's safe. Everybody survived. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on that. What could potentially have been a huge, huge issue involving four cars was avoided. Let's go with that. Let's go with that scenario. Let's deal with those positive emotions. And as I drove the rest of the way, I kept belly breathing and drinking water and coming back into the present moment. If I wanted to trail off into those awfulizing and catastrophizing elements of drama so that I felt vindicated for being upset at that driver, all that's doing is hurting me. So let's come back to the question that my student asked in class. Are you creating a Pollyanna-type life? Well, the reality is truly under our influence. And when we choose the thoughts we think, we can either heal ourselves or hurt ourselves. Each creates a reality. A pessimist creates a pessimistic reality of negativity and unending pain and depression. And yes, there are some chemicals and imbalances and some natural depressions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a natural orientation towards living a life where you thrive instead of simply survive. So if I'm thinking negative, pessimistic thoughts, I create a negative, pessimistic reality. That's hard to live. If I create positive, optimistic thoughts, I create a positive, optimistic reality. And that's where I choose to live. So I'll end on one more quote. Don't stress. Do your very best. Appreciate each step. And forget the rest. What's the skill for today? Well, I think you heard it. Look at what my perceptions are and change them. Change one word from I hate this to I appreciate this. See what happens in your life. And what am I going to do for fun this week? Well, I'm going out to a fashion show in Carbondale, Colorado called Green is the New Black. One of my very dear friends is going to be in the fashion show, and I'm going to attend it with another very dear friend. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Okay, let's remember, stressed is just simply desserts spelled backwards. Have a great week, and thank you for joining us on Making Shifts Happen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.